Hello, everyone, and welcome back to True Time. When a family of four began their dream vacation on a cruise ship, they had no idea one of them would vanish without a trace. This is the case of Amy Lynn Bradley. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And you're listening to True Time.
You're listening to it.
Great job.
I didn't know what to say after that.
Dylan always comes up with something really random to say after the welcome.
I just feel so awkward. I never know what to say after that.
But we hope you're having a great week.
Or at happy,
least start to your week.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
I was going to say happy day after Easter, but this is pre-recorded because we're going on a cruise.
Yes. As you are listening to this, we are on our cruise ship.
Yeah. Yeah,
having the time of our lives.
It'll be Monday, so I guess we'll talk about the ports now like we said we would last week.
Yeah, if you want to know where we're going and what you can expect to see about.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned we're starting our cruise in Barcelona.
Yes, we're spending 2 days there.
Yep, just taking it all in. And we will, I guess our first port will be on Monday when you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. And we will be in Mallorca, which is a Spanish island. So super excited. I've never been there.
Me neither.
So it'll be a first for both of us.
We've been to Ibiza, which is near Mallorca. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a similar... I mean, obviously, similar climate, similar islandish. So
yeah.
But so I'm excited because I loved Ibiza.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So I can only imagine. And I've seen pictures of Mallorca and I know it's beautiful. So super excited to experience that.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we will be going to Provence. I don't know how to say it correctly.
Like, if it you're says, American, Provence.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
If you're French, it's like. Provence.
Or something. It says Marseille too, so I'm not exactly sure. Some of the ports have like different names and stuff. So one of those places.
Sometimes the port is named different, and then the city is a name.
Yeah. Like. And we will be just kind of doing. It's a shorter day there, I think, but we kind of just want to go out, maybe get some lunch, and then go back to the ship and explore the ship a bit more.
Yeah, it's the oldest city in France.
Yes, yeah.
And so there's probably not like a lot to do. We're just going to walk around the city, probably have good lunch, check it out.
Yeah, find some treats.
A bakery, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of our goal with a lot of these places is to get some good food.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and then we'll probably take advantage of the ship. But then the next few days, our itineraries are fully booked.
Yeah.
Because the day after that, we will be going to Florence,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be beautiful. I've been there when I was a little kid, so I don't really remember much. But I'm excited to experience it as an adult.
I'm very excited. I was telling Avery, I have a friend who used to live in Italy, and he said Florence is by far his favorite city.
Yeah, so... if you're looking for a city in Italy to go, maybe Florence is the one for you.
It might be.
And then after Florence, I think the next day we go to Rome,
mm-hmm.
which will be great. I've been there more recently, so I'm super excited to go again.
Yeah, I've never officially been. I've been to Rome, but not to like the touristy spots in Rome.
Yeah, our cruise last summer started. It says in Rome, but it was really like an hour away.
Yeah.
So, and then I think our last port is technically in Naples, but we're going on an excursion that's going to take us to Sorrento and Pompeii.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, that was also a port on our last cruise ship, but we did a different excursion.
Yeah, so we went to, what's the island called?
Ischia.
Yeah. So we went to Ischia and did...
thermal bath?
Yeah, that's what it was. Type of thing. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So we did that instead of hitting Pompeii because we were like, we'll hit Pompeii like before we leave Germany.
Yeah. And
we're doing it this time.
Finally. We're really excited.
Yeah. I wish we did Pompeii last time knowing what we know now, but we got around to
it. You know, at least we can say we've just been to more places.
Yeah.
So We're super excited. So if you're interested in traveling to one of these places someday, check out any of the posts. I try to make TikToks about the places we go and the things we do. So if you're interested in seeing that, definitely check it out. And also, once we're back recording in live time, we'll definitely update you on everything.
Yeah, and for sure.
What our favorite places were.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's everything.
Yes, it is. Should we move into the story? So it was only fitting that last year when we went on our cruise, I did a cruise ship true crime case. And we're doing another one because, unfortunately, there are quite a few cruise ship true crime cases. So I just picked out another one. And this one is definitely, it's insane. So let's get into it.
Alrighty.
This week's case took place in March of 1998. Amy Lynn Bradley was born on May 12, 1974, and she was 23 years old at the time. Amy was from Petersburg, Virginia, and she grew up in a happy home and spent a lot of time playing outdoors. Amy was extremely athletic, and in high school, she was the only girl that played on the boys' basketball team. She also loved to swim, so for many years, she was a member of a local swim team, and she was a certified lifeguard. She was a very outgoing person with a very upbeat attitude. She was someone who could talk to anyone. Amy had just graduated from Longwood University in Virginia, and I actually toured Longwood when I was looking into colleges.
Nice.
So I've been there.
Is it a nice campus?
Yeah, it's in like a really small town, and it's a very, very small campus. Like, you can see from one end to the other, but it's really like cool. Like, it's a nice vibe if you like a smaller, more close-knit community, and it was really pretty. Amy had gotten her degree in physical education with a scholarship for basketball. After graduating, she had plans to begin working at a computer business her uncle owned soon. She had just gotten a brand new apartment and had a cute bulldog named Daisy. She decided to celebrate her major achievement with her parents, Ron and Iva, along with her younger brother, Brad. They decided the best way to celebrate would be a week-long cruise on the Royal Caribbean ship, Rhapsody of the Seas. According to Amy's brother, Brad, she was a little nervous about being on a boat, just floating out in the open ocean, but he told her all about the fun he had had on a different cruise, so he was able to convince Amy to come along.
Sounds like us convincing my dad.
Yeah, pretty much. Their cruise would take them from Puerto Rico to Aruba to Curaçao, St. Martin, then lastly St. Thomas before returning to Puerto Rico, according to FBI.gov. Thank you to Neuro for sponsoring today's episode. Are you someone who is constantly on the go, trying to balance work, social life, and personal well-being? It can be challenging to maintain focus and concentration, but there is a solution. Meet Neuro, the gum and mint brand that can energize, calm, and focus you whenever you need it. I've been struggling a lot lately with staying focused and on track, and to be honest, as soon as I sit down to get some work done, I quickly find myself aimlessly scrolling on my phone as a distraction. It can be hard to find motivation, and I am someone who appreciates a good caffeine boost, but coffee and energy drinks have not always been my favorite go-to. A lot of the time, coffee really hurts my stomach and causes me to get super shaky. It's also not the most healthy option for me either, since the only way I can drink it is with lots of creamer. Neuro perfectly solves all of those problems by offering an easy and healthy solution so I can get my caffeine fix and stay focused while I work on True Time podcast content all day long.
Neuro was developed by former athletes who wanted to create clean, balanced energy that could be taken anywhere, anytime. With three different formulas to choose from, Neuro has a product to suit your needs. Their energy and focus formula contains natural caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins to sustain mental endurance necessary for maintaining focus. Two pieces contains 80 milligrams of natural green tea caffeine, which is about as much as a cup of coffee. Their Calm and Clarity formula is expertly developed with GABA, vitamin D3, and L-theanine to optimize composure and clarity of mind. and their health and vitality formula is specially infused with life-enhancing, immune-boosting vitamins to help strengthen and support your body. Each gum and mint formula comes in different flavors as well, so you can pick what you like depending on your preferences. They are all vegan, aspartame-free, sugar-free, and gluten-free as well.
Neuro Gum and Mints are the perfect solution for anyone looking for the perfect source of energy and focus. With Neuro, you can get the right state of mind safely and consistently, no matter what challenges come your way. Check out our link, tryneurogum.com/truetime, in our description to order Neuro Gum and Mints today and see the difference it can make in your life. So, on March 21st, the family boarded the ship in Puerto Rico for some fun and well-deserved relaxation. The family of four was sharing a stateroom on the 10th floor that had a balcony with a beautiful view of the ocean. They all had such a fun time in the beginning, planning all of their dinner outfits, having special meals together, and taking advantage of all of the exciting things there are on a cruise ship. After 2 days of being on the cruise, the night of March 23rd was a formal night, so the family all got ready together, the men in tuxedos and Amy in a long black formal dress. Before the nice dinner in the main dining room, they stopped to have professional pictures taken to always remember the trip. After dinner, they all headed back to their room to change into some more casual clothes and went to the top deck to attend a calypso party that was being hosted. There was live music, dancing, and colorful lights, which really set the mood. The band playing was called Blue Orchid, and Amy actually got to know some of the members during the party while the rest of her family danced and mingled with the other guests, according to allthatsinteresting.com. By around 1 a.m. that morning, now March 24th, Ron and Iva were pretty tired, so they headed back to the room to get some sleep before the ship's next stop in Curaçao. Amy and Brad wanted to keep the party going, so they headed to the ship's club and continued dancing and making new friends.
I don't think we ever stayed up that late on our cruise.
No, I was always so tired after having such a big day and a big meal, watching a show.
I was exhausted by like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I was ready for bed. By 3:45 a.m., Brad was tired, so he headed back to the room and Amy followed and came back around 30 minutes after. Yeah, that's super late for us.
Yeah.
The two hung out on the balcony for a little while, talking, and Brad eventually decided he was ready to get some sleep, so he told Amy goodnight and that he loved her, according to allthatsinteresting.com. Amy decided she was going to stay out on the balcony and enjoy the warm night breeze. Her father, Ron, woke up at one point and looked out and saw Amy out there, so he fell back asleep. When he woke up again at around 6 in the morning, however, Amy was gone. He wasn't immediately worried since he assumed she might be out smoking a cigarette or getting pictures of the sunset, so he got up to go find her. The only things missing were her cigarettes and lighter, but even her sandals were still there, according to allthatsinteresting.com. As he looked around all of the common areas, though, Amy was nowhere to be found. He searched for about an hour until he knew something was wrong and he needed to go get Iva and Brad to help. As he was heading back to their stateroom, the head of security was actually on their hall and he informed them that his daughter Amy was missing. Cruise ships are huge, and although it was 1998 at the time, even today, phones really don't work that well on them, so if someone goes off without telling anyone, it would be really difficult to track them down. When Ron got back to the room, he woke up Iva and told her the news. Her heart sank and she flew out of bed to get ready. Brad also got up and got ready and the three went out searching, telling any crew member they could find about Amy. The ship was going to be docking in Curaçao soon and they wanted to find her before that happened. They eventually found the captain of the ship and the Bradley family begged him to make some type of announcement for Amy, but he informed them that he didn't want to disturb the passengers.
That seems sort of messed up.
So there's like two sides to this. There is obviously Amy's family, where when you look through their perspective, that's terrifying. There needs to be an announcement made that we've got to find this girl. That's so scary that she just vanished without a trace. But then when you look at it from someone who's been working on a cruise ship for probably a really long time, all it takes is for someone to like, I'm going to go get breakfast and then I'm going to go here and then I'm going to go here. And then like, you know, people looking for them are just like missing them every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to disturb the passengers because that's a scary announcement to make. Hey, someone's missing on this boat. Like people might start to panic. And even if nothing is wrong, then it was, you know, not necessary to make an announcement like that. But of course, obviously in this case, an announcement like that would have been helpful, but in the moment, you just don't know. As they began to dock in Curaçao, Amy's mother begged and pleaded while crying for them to not let anyone on or off the ship until Amy was found. But according to Royal Caribbean, they had no reason to suspect any type of foul play in Amy's disappearance, so they docked and everyone was allowed to leave the ship. The captain did inform the family that while they were docked, they would do a full search of the entire ship to try and find her. However, after being docked for several hours, the captain told the Bradleys that they searched everywhere they could and there were no signs of Amy. So he told them they could stay on the ship as they headed towards their next port in St. Martin, or they could get off and search for Amy in Curaçao. So they made the difficult decision to get off and find the American Embassy to get their help. The American Embassy was able to get grids of the ocean along the route the ship took to search for the time that Amy was last seen up until docking. They feared the possibility that she might have fallen overboard and tried to swim to shore. However, after hours of searching the ocean, there were no signs of Amy. The family was now being helped by the FBI, so they all flew from Curaçao to St. Martin to reboard, this time with the help of the FBI to keep searching for Amy. The FBI began conducting interviews in an attempt to learn as much information as possible about what happened in the hours leading up to Amy's disappearance. They interviewed Ron, Iva, and Brad, and they all said they recalled a few of the crew members who had taken an interest in Amy and that they should interview them. Ron remembered one of the waiters constantly asking for Amy's name because he said they wanted to take her to Carlos and Charlie's restaurant in Aruba for drinks. When Ron asked Amy how she felt about that, she said, quote, I wouldn't go and do anything with any of those crew members. They give me the creeps, end quote, according to allthat'sinteresting.com. One of the crew member who Amy was around the most was Alistair Douglas, who went by Yellow. Yellow was a bass player in the band The Blue Orchid, and there is actually video footage from the ship's videographer of Amy and Yellow dancing the night of March 23rd at the club together. The FBI was also able to discover that a few passengers witnessed Amy and Yellow together on an elevator very early the morning of the 24th. But with it being a vacation and those passengers being from all over, no one could quite pin down a time. One very odd and unsettling piece of information was that while the Bradleys were initially searching for Amy, Brad was sitting at a table by the pool when Yellow came up to him and he said he was sorry to hear Amy was missing. At the time, Brad was really worried, so he just nodded and moved on. But looking back, he realized there had been no announcement over the intercom that Amy was missing, so it was really strange that he knew that already. So the FBI brought in Yellow for questioning to see if he knew what happened to Amy. He told them he had no idea what happened to her and that he wasn't sure if he was the last person to see her alive. He cooperated with the FBI and took a polygraph test. After his questioning, he was let go and went over to his fellow crewmates with his thumbs up smiling like he was all cleared, according to Amy's father, Ron. After all the interviews, the FBI found no answers to point them in the direction of finding Amy. The Bradley family then returned to their home in Virginia, heartbreakingly, without Amy. They did everything they could to spread the word about Amy being missing by creating a website and having posters put up. The FBI also continued their investigation by interviewing people who were close to Amy to see if they could find any answers there. One theory they were able to quickly rule out was suicide. Amy was really excited for her new chapter in life and showed no signs of depression or suicidal thoughts. With no leads coming up, Amy's family became desperate and announced that they would be offering a $250,000 reward for anyone who could give them information that would lead them to find Amy. Just 1 month after she'd gone missing, Ron and Brad decided to fly back to Curaçao to see if they could find any clues about Amy. They passed out flyers with her pictures and the reward in the hopes that someone would come to them with some type of information. While they were there, an older man who was a taxi driver went up to them and told them he had seen Amy on the island when she came to ask him where a phone was. He then told Ron and Brad to search three areas on the island that Amy might be at. However, after they searched, they still found nothing. They ultimately had to head home with no new information. As time passed by, the Bradley family received a lot of tips from vacationers in Curaçao who claimed they had seen Amy, which kept their hope up that she was still out there alive. In August of 1998, a man from Canada was at a beach when he claimed he saw Amy looking distraught walking with two other men. He said he noticed a shocking detail, which was a tattoo on the girl's left shoulder blade. The tattoo was of baby Taz, the Tasmanian devil, with a basketball. Amy also had multiple other identical tattoos, being a sun on her lower back, a Chinese symbol on her right ankle, and a gecko lizard on her navel, along with her navel being pierced, according to FBI.gov. Despite all of the FBI's efforts to search the area while working with the local police force, they weren't able to find anything. After almost a year and a half since Amy's disappearance, the family was given the information to a former Special Forces officer, now private investigator, who claimed to be interested in helping them find her. The Bradleys reached out and he began looking into her disappearance with his team and connections in Curaçao. He came back to Ron and Iva, telling them that Amy was still alive and that she had been seen by multiple people on the beach, always with different men. He told them that he would need $24,000, however, to keep the investigation going. They sent the money and his search continued.
That's so much money.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, where are you going to get that money from? But they're so desperate, they'll do anything to find their daughter.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I can see how that would be expensive to do, like, investigation like that.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. That's so much money.
Mm-hmm. By October of 2000, he told Ron and Iva that he had found Amy and that he knew she was being held captive by drug runners on the island. He said that in order to complete his rescue mission, he was going to need an additional $100,000.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Ron and Iva wanted proof that he had found her, though, so he sent them a picture of a man and woman from behind at a beach. The man had a long blonde ponytail, and the woman had a hat on with a towel over her shoulder. When I saw the photo, I thought there was no way someone could be identified because the girl was so covered up. All you could tell was that she was tall and thin. The Bradleys believed it to be their daughter, though, so the PI told them to head over to Miami and to have a plan and be on standby to come get Amy once he rescued her. Iva had brought packed bags of Amy's things and had doctors and a therapist ready to see Amy once they returned home. Ron and Iva got a hotel in Miami and waited for the call, and when they got it, it was bad news. The PI told them that he had to abort the rescue mission because some of the men on his team had gotten hurt in a shootout. Ron and Iva were devastated. I just couldn't imagine having packed your daughter's things in a bag, thinking you're about to go see her, and it all just falling through.
Is this PI for real? Like, did this stuff actually happen?
Well, shortly after, they got a second call from a member on the team who informed them that the PI was actually a fraud and had no real intentions of finding Amy. He ended up stealing around $200,000 from the Bradleys.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, And when he returned back to the U.S., the FBI arrested him, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison in 2002, according to thelineup.com.
Only five?
Yeah, but
I feel like it should be more than that.
He's also required to pay them back in full.
Yeah.
So, just devastating. In May of 2002, a retired member of the Navy came forward to the FBI after seeing news coverage about Amy because he believed he had seen her in a brothel in Curacao in 1999, according to thelineup.com. He said while he was there, she leaned over and told him that her name was Amy and that she needed help because she was being held captive against her will. At the time, though, he didn't report it because you are not supposed to go to places like a brothel while you're in the military, and he was worried it would ruin his career. When the FBI went to investigate that brothel, they found that it had burned down. In 2005, a woman claimed she saw Amy in a department store bathroom. She was described as arguing with two men, and when they left, she supposedly spoke to the woman saying her name was Amy and she was from Virginia. But then the men came back and took her, according to thelineup.com. One of the biggest pieces of possible evidence also came in 2005 when Ron and Iva were emailed an image of a woman sitting on a bed in lingerie looking distraught. The image came from a website that essentially advertised prostitution in the Caribbean, and the woman in the photo's name was stated as Jazz. The image was discovered by an organization that searches for women who have been sold into sex trafficking.
Gosh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. This potentially confirmed the Bradleys' nightmare, though, that their daughter had been placed into sex trafficking. They had the image examined for facial recognition by someone who worked for the FBI, and he believes that the woman in the picture is Amy. The FBI looked into that image, but they couldn't find any information on where or when the picture had been taken and if it had been altered at all. So essentially, it was another lead with a dead end. In 2010, a jawbone was washed on shore in Aruba. However, authorities initially believed it to be a part of another missing vacationer case and thought it belonged to Natalie Holloway. According to thelineup.com, the bone was cleared from the Holloway case, but no additional DNA testing was done on it, the only information being that it belonged to a Caucasian. On March 24, 2010, 12 years after Amy's disappearance, she was declared legally dead. However, the FBI's investigation still continues, and they are offering a $25,000 reward to information that will lead to the discovery of Amy.
That's like our case last week where nothing is found and
yeah,
people are declared dead, and that's just the worst. I don't know. That just sounds so terrible.
Yeah.
You have no idea what happened to this person.
And that's just like the toughest part is they've followed so many leads and they've had so much information.
Just nothing.
But there's no proof. They can't do anything about any of the information.
Yeah.
Iva has said, quote, "My gut feeling to this day was somebody saw her, somebody wanted her, and somebody took her," end quote, according to allthat'sinteresting.com. So they truly believe that the crew members working on the ship clearly had some type of connection with some type of sex trafficking ring on the islands, yeah, and that they essentially kidnap vacationers, young women, and sell them into sex trafficking.
I mean, I could see how people in that business would work for like a cruise line or something like that.
Yeah.
To target people.
Because in all truth and reality, cruise ships are very sketchy and kind of scary if you think about it, in terms of there's so many hidden doors and
yeah,
places behind the scenes that you cannot see.
Yeah, I mean, when they were bringing up our bags and that one door opened.
Yeah, and it was
a whole entire another part of the ship.
Yeah, it was like a massive stairwell huge, that had yeah, rooms going off of it. And it was like, oh, God. Like,
yeah,
yeah, you just, I just couldn't imagine. There are so many places that it's scary to say, but someone could be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago marked the 25th anniversary of Amy's disappearance, but the Bradley family still has hope that they will find her and bring her home one day. I truly hope that one day the Bradley family will finally discover what happened to Amy, and if she is still out there, she will be brought home safely. If anyone has any information about where Amy is, please contact your local FBI office.
Can't do anything except for just hope that someone finds some information that leads them to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just definitely reinstates for me why I will not walk anywhere on a cruise ship by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure, you know, your kids don't either.
Yeah. There's just, it's, you know, you feel safe because you're on this like secluded kind of like community almost. And everyone there is pretty much there for the same reason you are. But you just never know. It's just like the real world. There's still bad people.
Yeah.
And bad things can still happen. Yeah, I just don't even know. I don't even know what my opinion is. Like, my guess is she got up and left the room because she shared the stateroom with her family.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anybody came in, but she clearly got up to go walk or smoke a cigarette. And my guess is at some point she ran into someone bad.
Yeah.
But definitely just really reminds you that you kind of always have to have your guard up, especially as a woman.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for this week's case.
All righty. Should we move into the question of the day?
Let's do it.
Okay. So it's another would you rather, because Avery finds these fun. Would you rather have 5 half-size clones of yourself or 1 full-size clone? So there's 5 of you that are just little miniatures because you're already short.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty tiny.
They'd be 2.5 feet tall. They'd be like, they'd literally be like as tall as Kai, but if he could stand up. So 5 miniatures or 1 full size.
That's
and they're
tough.
Obedient. It's not like some crazy stuff where, you know, they're going to stab you.
Yeah,
and
murder me in my sleep. Cool. They're just like knees.
Yeah.
I don't know, their hands would be so tiny. Yeah. I don't really think they'd be able to do very much if they were half my size.
Let's say they are half my size, but they're still your clones.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be more practical.
So then that would be like 5 actual size clones. So then I'll go with that option. Dylan's
small. You would do the 5?
I don't know. It kind of sounds weird. Maybe just like 1. I think I only really need 1.
Yeah, I would do the 1 because then I wouldn't have to go to work.
Yeah, you could just send that one to work.
Just send the clone to work. No, I'd still go every now and then, you know, but I'd probably do like half days. And then the clone takes over the other half.
Just pop in the morning, get done what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably just do 1 too. Just have them cooking, cleaning, and I'll do whatever else I got to do.
The house stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very nice.
It would.
The 5 would be practical for, I don't know, if you had a lot of responsibilities. Like if you had a few kids.
Yeah, someone to entertain your children.
Yeah, 1 per kid. And then also cooking and cleaning. So
yeah.
Then it would be nice to have the 5. Mm-hmm. But where we're at, we only have like our jobs and hobbies and taking care of the house and...
And Kai.
Yeah.
He would probably attack if the miniature was.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't end well.
Yeah.
Nice. Alrighty then.
Yeah, so if you guys want to see case photos, you can follow the True Times page on Instagram and Facebook at True Time Podcast. And if you want to follow our personal life, you see what we're doing on the cruise, traveling around, and you can follow Avery at Avery E. Hamill on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep, definitely go check those out. And any information you heard about today's podcast is all linked in our description box, so feel free to check out our links. Thank you all so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. We appreciate all of your support. Thank you to those who have left reviews and ratings. They really help us out. And if you haven't yet, please leave us a review or a rating. It just really boosts our podcast, and we're just trying to spread the word, and we're just really thankful for the opportunity that you guys have given us. So thank you. We love you guys, and we hope you have a great rest of your week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys.